Welcome to Conversations with David Lewis. A future that's possible, but not necessarily one we want. My guests are Michael S. Kearns, a retired Air Force captain, and Ronald B. Solomon, a TV executive. They've written a book together called Broken, which is, on one hand, about elements of today's defense establishment, including some things that we're not proud of, like torture, but also drone warfare and many other exciting elements. On one hand, the book is a rollicking adventure story. On the other hand, it's a rant against the machine, shall we say, in several senses. Gentlemen, thanks for being on the program.
Nice to be here.
Well, this book, I was saying to myself as I read this book, and maybe one of you could explain some of the technical aspects that you get into, from little mini drones, and explain some of the more exotic elements in the book.
Well, the technology of the book is all based on reality. Some of it has been exaggerated for a dramatic effect, but most of the technology, actually, there are some things in there that actually do exist. A lot of the security drone systems that are in there really do exist. There are the swarm technology that is in the book that allows a group of robotic vehicles to act in concert. That exists today and is being employed. We don't even know it, but it's being employed by the Department of Defense, by the FBI, by the Department of Homeland Security, overseas and at home. So it's a frightening thing, and there's even some artificial intelligence in terms of interrogation utilized, so really bot torturers, and that's actually founded on reality as well.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
I found myself, reading the book and saying, and asking how much of this is real, how much of it isn't, and saying, oh, well, a lot of this is exaggerated. And then, of course, I'm a filmmaker in my day job, and I spent all day yesterday working with drones. So then I thought, oh, well, gee, maybe maybe more of it's real. Torture bots. In the book, Broken, you describe how a company has invented essentially a medical device that on its own will using artificial intelligence, it will torture someone. Some of that is actually real.
The AI is real. The CIA began experimenting back in the 80s with artificial intelligence to determine the veracity. So robotic truth machines, rather than truth serums, based on visual cues, pupil dilation, voice modulations, temperature, respiration, all kinds of things. They're even using a number of them. They're called avatars at certain border crossings, and they're in the forms of kiosks. And so when someone is trying to cross the border, rather than meet with a border official or, a Customs and Border Patrol person, they're interviewed by a kiosk. And the kiosk, based on all the visual cues that I just explained and more, will determine whether or not it thinks the person is telling the truth. And if it feels that they're not, it refers it to an agent who then comes in and takes that person aside. To my knowledge, they have not been linked to torture devices, but I think once they can determine with a fair amount of accuracy, then they'll certainly put in some instruments that will tweak it.
Given the book has many, many elements, but if one of you could give a kind of overview of the arc of the book to give the listeners a sense of where it goes and what comes into play in the book.
Well, that's what you did, Ron. You brought in the masterful arcs.
Okay, so the book is about Michael. So Michael's life, I think it's important that you talk about, Michael's background as a as a SEER instructor. And
explain what SEER is. Well, maybe, Michael, you could explain what SEER is.
Oh, sure. It's Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape. It was a program put together just shortly after we had the war in Korea, and a lot of our prisoners of war actually were giving up statements that were disloyal to America and spreading what was propaganda, internal propaganda for the Koreans to use against their own people, which is the communist interrogation model. And that's what we train people to do, is to try and not get convinced to give up their will.
And you were a SEER instructor, and what did you do, and who did you work with?
I started working in SEER in Evasion and Escape as an enlisted fellow. I made that my specialty as an intelligence specialist, and later was assigned into Air Force Intelligence. And in 1983, Air Force Intelligence took over all of the SEER training worldwide as far as responsibilities for, you know, collaborative kinds of teaching models. And what I did later, I was fortunate after becoming an aide-de-camp to a general who ran an intelligence agency. I was recruited and went up to Spokane, Washington, where our executive agent training program for the Joint Chiefs of Staff essentially trained two groups of personnel. One was those that engaged in what's called strategic reconnaissance, like the NSA and other airborne collection programs. And we also took on, just when I moved up there, teaching JSOC, which is the best of the best, you know, the Delta Force and the SEAL Team 6 guys.
That's Joint Special Operations Command.
Correct. And that's where Dr. Bruce Jessen and I created a course which was specifically tailor-made for JSOC, and it was to take what we were training, because we were playing these communists. We actually dressed up as communists. All our scenarios were feeling like we were really somewhere we weren't. And it was fairly intense, and it was, I called it a finishing school. You know, people have already gone through the A, B, and C levels of typical SEER training, which takes you right into a POW camp. And then we would then take it as not being in war. We, you know, people typically are shot down during the communist period of time because they were collecting intelligence, and then those countries wanted to use, like Gary Powers, like the movie that just came out about
right.
The bridge. And so we were hoping that we were not becoming, or not having our people become, someone like Gary Powers, who gave the Soviets everything and took them on tours of what the intelligence equipment was on this plane.
Ron, back to you, and giving an overview of the book.
So, Michael, well, the character Chauncey in the book is based on, you know, many of Michael's experiences. And so the book takes up a number of years after the character has tried to basically warn the political machine and the American public about what's happening with torture in Guantanamo Bay, et cetera. And he's really not listened to, and so he kind of goes off and licks his wounds and feels like a, you know, very wounded person who nobody will listen to. But what happens is the FBI approaches him and says that there's been some chatter about terrorists who want to kidnap the drone manufacturers, the CEOs of the large drone companies, General Atomics, the guys who make the Predators and others. And so they want him to run them through an advanced SEER training session so that should they become kidnapped, that at least they'll have some tools to be able to resist torture until they can be rescued or escape. And while doing this, he hears a common thread, because he has to learn certain personal things about them in order to teach them what to protect. And he hears this common thread, and he realizes that there is a conspiracy going on. And then, of course, they realize that he knows too much. And I won't say whether it's accidental or by design. They decide to assassinate him, but he's a master survival, evasion, resistance, escape person. So that's not an easy task. And so he becomes a real fly in the ointment. And from there, the book just goes to him trying to save his life and trying to save the country.
Captain Kearns, well, I should say I'm talking with Ronald Solomon and retired U.S. Air Force Captain Michael Kearns about their book, Broken. Captain Kearns, you were a whistleblower talking about the SEER program and how it had been turned into a torture program. One of your colleagues, I guess, in the SEER program, Bruce Jessen, was the psychologist that the CIA then used to essentially design the enhanced interrogation, a.k.a. torture program. Is that correct? And what happened to you?
Oh, exactly. Actually, up until 2009, like most of the American public, I didn't know anything about Mitchell and Jessen and Aldrich, my supervisor, all working together to put this forward to the CIA. And we're only all learning about this fairly recently. I found out because of an article written by Dr. Jeffrey Kay. It was titled Roger Aldrich, Al-Qaeda Manual and the Origins of Mitchell Jessen. And it essentially, you know, I had a Google search out there because I was writing this novel by myself in 2009. And gosh, when this blew up in my face, and all of a sudden I realized I had the personal handwritten notes of Dr. Bruce Jessen describing that torture doesn't work because of our course we put together back in 1988-89. So that evidence, which I tried to take, gosh, to the New York Times and Jim Risen, I went to the Congress, to Senator Levin, and a lot of the story in Broken is the futility of having evidence that actually shows the inane process of our bureaucracy.
And what happened to you as a result of your going public?
Well, I spent a lot of money flying to places to try and participate in the Say No to Torture program rallies that they had at Berkeley, and went to Stanford and gave some lectures. And there's always the small group of people that want to understand this unfortunate failure of leadership. And that's what I really feel is we're looking at is the cult of moral leadership has failed in America.
So, Ronald Solomon, how did you meet Michael S. Kearns?
Well, we both lived in the same small town in Colorado, and a mutual friend had listened to Michael lamenting about, you know, what he had heard, what had happened to him and what we were doing, and, you know, saying that he wanted to find someone to help him write a book. And so my friend knew that I'm a writer and kind of put the two of us together. And it, quite honestly, after he told me his story, I kind of freaked out a bit, you know, driving home, kept looking over my shoulder to see if I was being followed, because it wasn't anything anybody really knew about at the time. You know, it really wasn't that, it wasn't so public, and so it kind of freaked me out a bit, and I went home and talked to my wife about it, and, well, we both agreed that it was pretty scary and didn't know if we wanted to get involved. But I did some soul searching over the next month or two and came to the conclusion that, you know, it was something that if it was true, that I had to bring it to light in some way, shape, or form. So we created a fictional narrative that embodied all the themes and the realities.
Tomorrow we'll continue my conversation with retired Air Force Captain Michael S. Kearns and TV executive Ronald Solomon about their book, Broken.